stepped off it last week as we are preaching a faith series, so to speak, on Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to pick back up in one verse over here, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. And then we're going to read, pray, and ask the Master for his help tonight. That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. And once you get there, let's all stand as we read the Word of God, as we honor His precious Word. Thank God for the book. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read, pray, and ask Him for His help tonight. The Bible says in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, not unbelief, but by faith, the Bible says, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they, his parents, saw he was a proper child. And the Bible says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We're going to talk tonight, and maybe we already know what we're going to talk about tonight, but tonight we're going to talk about fearless faith. Fearless faith. Father, help us. I ask God to breathe on us tonight. I pray and ask God to take your word and let it become alive in our hearts and our minds and our spirit and our soul, as well as in our actions. And God, help us to grab a hold of this, what we're talking about tonight, this fearless faith. That faith, God, that's not afraid to trust you, that's not afraid to do what you have for us to do. And perhaps, God, there's someone that might be entrapped or perhaps they're surrounded by fear. But I pray and ask God tonight, you'd help them to become fearless. Not in their own, not in their own strength, but in the strength of a living and true God. I pray, God, that you'd empower them with that strength, that in spite of fear, to move forward and to be obedient to whatever you have for them to do. And for that, God will shout hallelujah. I pray, God, to guide my speech and my mind tonight. Help me to preach your word. Give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, to clean my soul, my heart. If there's anything, God, in my life, no matter how small or how minute, that might be a hindrance from you using my vessel tonight, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, I bet you wash me thoroughly. I pray, God, you cleanse me thoroughly. Why? Because I want to be a vessel that's used by you. These folks came tonight not just to hear me rant and rave, but they came tonight to hear what thus saith the Word of God. And I pray, God, that you would speak very clearly to us. I pray, God, you speak very precise to us. And I pray, God, whatever you say tonight, I pray, God, we take heed to it. I pray, God, we apply it. I pray, God, we be freed by it. I pray, God, we be motivated by it. I pray, God, that somebody perhaps might be saved through it. And with that, God will shout, hallelujah. Help somebody, because somebody needs your help. And for whatever reason, you just threw Julie in my mind tonight. I do pray for Julie tonight. And I pray, God, that young child will step on the scene tonight. That young girl will step on the scene tonight. And I pray, God, there be no more problems, no more hindrances whatsoever. But I pray, because you are an on-time God, I pray, God, that she'll come right on time, right on schedule, as you have directed. And I pray that you use that young girl to be a great blessing, to be a great inspiration, to many whose her life will touch. And with that, God will shout again, hallelujah. And there's so many other requests that are brought forth tonight. I can't remember them all, but hallelujah. You don't forget nothing. And so I ask God that everyone that was breathed out, everyone that was thought in their mind, I pray that should be every single need, from the children, to the young adults who are children, to the marital situations, to those, God, who have been bound by things. I pray God to touch right now in the name of Jesus and give encouragement where encouragement is perhaps lacking. And with that, God will thank you. Better stop here, Master. For it's in your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Fearless faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, by faith. And when I first saw that, I was thinking perhaps we were going to be focusing more so on Moses. But as you read the verse, this is not talking about Moses per se. The focus, the attention is on Moses' parents. The attention is on his mom and his daddy. And the Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid. They were not frightened. They were not at all. Not so much of the king, but of what? The king's commandments. the king's mandate that had been given. They were not afraid of that command that the king had gave out, that all those children that were males were to die. They were not afraid. They were not fearful to respond the way God would have them respond with Moses. And very quickly, we're going to see just a few things that will be done because they've got some ham back in the back to get your blood pressure up. And so we're going to go ahead and get this thing taken care of. We need y'all to also pray for something. But yeah, first of all, they had challenging pressure. They had a challenging pressure. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, when you and I find ourselves under pressure, it's a very challenging situation because pressure will cause you to do something that you know that you should not do. Pressure from somebody close will cause you to do something that you know is not the right thing to do. And they had a challenging pressure. Let's see what this pressure was. We're coming back here, but we've got to get the whole story, so to speak. So run with me to Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 22. They had a challenging pressure. And this was the pressure right here. The Bible says in Exodus, second book in the Bible, in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Every male child was to be drowned. Every boy that was born to the Hebrews was to be slain." Why? Because they were afraid of the Israelites. They said, "My, they're multiplying. My, they're growing. And if we're not careful, when we fight against our enemies and we have them as slaves, if we fight against our enemies, they'll turn on us and fight with our enemies against us." So they decided, you know what we'll do? We'll stop this thing, and every child that's a boy that's born, we want him slain. Look what the Bible says back in verse number 13, same chapter. The Bible says the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. The Bible says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All that service where they made them serve was with rigor. I mean, they would treat them awful. The Bible says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other was Puah." What a name. "And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and sit upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the Bible says, I like this. The midwives feared who? God. More than a king. More than Pharaoh. And the Bible says they feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive." The Bible goes on to say, and the king of Egypt, verse 18, called for the midwives and said, "Wait a minute now. Why have you done this thing? And have saved the men's children alive." And the midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively. And our delivered heir, the midwives come in into them. Before we can stop them, the baby's just getting here." Almost. Anyway. The Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. But then Pharaoh charged all his people." It's all right, we're going to take matters in our hand. "I want you to take these sons that are born and cast them into the river." Now, my dear friends, that's pressure. That's pressure. Can you imagine knowing that folks are going to come and try to take your son and put him in the river to drown him and kill him? That was a challenging pressure. But in spite of that challenging pressure, the Bible shows us that they did something. They concealed Moses. Look, the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 2, "And there were men of the house of Levi, and took the wife or daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now run back over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. The Bible says this, by faith, they did all this by faith. When the Bible says he was born, he was hid. That word hid means concealed 3 months. In spite of the pressure, of the enemy. You can't hear me? It started to go. I want y'all to be able to hear me. Y'all put a pause on that. Let me change my battery. They concealed this child, even though they were pressured to kill this child, but yet they hid their son. Amen. Now watch this. Let me get these batteries out here. Y'all hold on. Y'all slow down. Y'all. Mother piece in. There we go. Give me 2 seconds. Glory to God. All right. Give me 4. Amen. Now watch what it says right here. The Bible says he was concealed 3 months of his parents. In spite of that pressure, they hid him. In spite of the fact that they might have been found out and perhaps even killed, they still hid him. And they did it for 3 long months. Can you imagine hiding him for 3 months? And somebody coming by and perhaps they think they might see him or notice that, wait a minute, that boy, they start, because you know what folks do? They do math. You know. Because, wait a minute, he ain't like the other, because Aaron was already born. See, this is before Aaron was born. I mean, this took place after Aaron was born. So, because, wait a minute, this, y'all ain't following the command. They were hiding him, but they hid him, my friend, because they had faith in a living, breathing God. The Bible says they concealed him. But I want you to know something else. The reason why they were able to conceal him together is because they cooperated together. Though the Bible says in verse 23 again, the Bible says by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Mama, daddy, say it again, Brother Larry, get together. You got to cooperate together because the enemy wants to split you apart, my friend, and cause division in your home. And he'll use these little angels to make sure that happens, amen. Because they'll run to one. They say, can I do this? And if you don't say what your mama say or what did your daddy say, and you say, all right, and they go. Then your other spouse comes in there and says, where's so-and-so? They're going out so-and-so. Well, I told them they couldn't go. Well, I told them they couldn't. I didn't know you told me. Well, why? Right. And before long, my dear friends, there y'all go at one another. But when you and I are cooperating together as parents, my dear friends, when you cooperate, you're going to see some great things take place. Because of that cooperation, it saved their son's life. Because his daddy could have said, no, I ain't getting in trouble with Pharaoh. I ain't getting in trouble. Or she could have said, I ain't getting in trouble with Pharaoh. But they both came together and said, hey, you know what? We're going to conceal him. We're going to cooperate together. Moms and dads, you got to get together. When your children are asking you about doing certain things, you make sure you guys have your own little powwow without them present. And y'all work it out. Y'all talk about it. Because if not, they will, I'm telling you, I mean, I know they're pretty and they're handsome. I mean, they're just angels. Look at this. They all slain the spirit over here. All of them knocked out. Amen. Y'all want something in there? Man, you cooperate with that. Where Brett at? Amen. Oh, okay, you cooperate with that, you totally give them that medicine, put them out. Amen. They're working together. That's what we're talking about. But nonetheless, though, as they begin to grow up, and as they begin, they're doing it now. But even as they begin to grow up, they're going to try to cause division. But you got to make sure that as parents, that you are cooperating together, making these decisions together. Well, what if they ain't acting right? What, my spouse, he's crazy. You know what you do about your crazy spouse? You pray for him, amen. And you pray for yourself at the same time, my dear friends, that you ain't the one that's crazy, amen. So listen, my dear friends, we got to get together with God, get close to God, and God will help us not to be divided, but to be united. And being united will save our children's lives. So not only do we see their cooperating parents, but then we see the cause of their concealment. What caused them to hide him? The Bible says in verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. That word proper here, my friends, also means handsome. That can be a blessing and a curse. I bet Bones was glad he looked good. Amen. He might have been going down that river. But nonetheless, though, but they, the Bible said they saw he was a proper child, but also means goodly. But in reality, they saw something in Moses that was unique. They saw something about Moses that was out of the ordinary. You say, well, preacher, how did they see that? They saw that because God revealed that to those parents. Do you know God knows how to reveal things to your parents, to your parents? If you want to know, if you really want to know what your kid's doing, ask God. Because you do know he sees everything. He knows when they lie. I know you said, my kids don't lie. I know. You in denial, but I understand. But he knows exactly what they're doing. And if you want to know the truth, just ask him. And God will reveal to you that truth. But some of us can't handle the truth. Amen. We don't want to know the truth sometimes. But I'm going to tell you what. If we ask God, God will show us. God will show us. Amen. And then he'll also show us exactly what to do about the situation. The Bible says, my dear friends, that the Bible, look what it says here again. The Bible says they saw he was a proper child. The word saw means to know. It means to understand. They knew something. They understood something about Moses that was out of the ordinary. And because of that, the Bible says they had courage. They were not afraid. Look what the Bible says. The Bible said by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid. They had courage. And that word fear here means to be frightened. It means to be in awe of. They were not afraid of the commandments. They instead, my friends, had courage to trust a living God. Because the Bible says by faith. That's why we title it fearless faith. In spite of opposition, in spite of fear, in spite of the enemy, they had courage. And the Bible says they hid their son. Now, I know somebody will say, wait a minute, preacher, aren't we supposed to follow the laws? Well, I'm going to show you something real quick. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter, just go over a couple of books over to your right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 13. Look what the Bible says over here. The Bible says this. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and do what? Honor the king. So we're supposed to follow laws. So I said, wait a minute, but they had a law right here. They had a command. But when a command goes against God, we're supposed to follow God. But we're not supposed to follow commands. We're not supposed to break the law. On my way back today, don't y'all put me out. I broke the law. We was riding down the road, and I had my speed where it was supposed to be at, and I had everything going and riding down the road. Think of the Michigan State Police. He was getting ready to pass me. He rode right next to me. And you know, I was. Then he dropped back. I'm like, this ain't good. Then he dropped over. And I've seen them things I've seen many a time. So I just pulled on over. Pam was asleep. What's going on, Jolene? What's happening? I said, police. I see y'all in the morning. No. He comes over. You know, of course, he got his hand right there. He's ready. And he wants to go see my driver's license and registration and my insurance. And, you know, and so we're flipping out now. We glove compartment. I ain't been here in a long time. I don't know what's going on. I'm sitting over here just getting stuff. Baby, we're going to find everything. And we were searching. I gave my license, you know. And then she was trying to find the. And I actually grabbed the registration. And I'm like, this is the old one. But it was the right one. But you know how it is when you're like, man, I don't want to go to jail. But anyhow, so I gave that to him. And so he took that and said, where's your insurance? He said, everything is your insurance up to date? There was silence. I can't lie. Maybe we just won't say nothing. I said, no, we kind of a little bit. We're going to get going. And I just told you all, we got to get to pick the insurance up because we got laps and y'all do understand. Okay. And most of the time here in Indiana, they pull you over what they want. No, most of the time they ask you for your license and your registration. They don't ask you for your insurance. License and registration. And he said, insurance. And then just so happened, I had my ordination thing that was working with my license. He said, you're a preacher? I said, yes, sir. So where you coming from? I said, I just come from Detroit. I just did a funeral up there. Trying to get back to Gary, Indiana. And he said, okay. And Joy's still, I can't find the insurance. So he walked back to the back. I was like, well, we're going. He said, the reason why I pulled you over. The reason why he pulled me over. Well, because we had a rock that hit the window. And it split there. You know, we know what I'm talking about. Anyhow, that's why he pulled us over. Because over there, you can't, you know, I guess it's law here too. But around here, they don't care too much about it. At least they don't say anything to me about it. But I've been getting everybody else's fix. They ain't got my own fix. But anyhow, that's another story. But anyway, so he said, that's why I pulled you over. It was because of the windshield. They had a crack in it. He said, that's obstructing the view. And I said, I understand. Yes, sir. So he went back there. I'm like, well, that can be a ticket for the, that's going to be a ticket for the cracked windshield. That's going to be a ticket for the, for no insurance. And I thought at the time that he had the wrong paper for my registration, but praise the Lord, it was the right one. And I said, well, I guess, you know, I'll be getting at least three tickets. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. So he came back. Well, first of all, he asked about my license. He says, everything good on your license? I was like, praise God it is. Amen. I usually couldn't say that, amen, but I was hallelujah. I said, yes, it's good, it's good. So he went back there, he ran everything back. You know, we sitting there, you know, and I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, man, I'm giving him my tickets. I got to get down here to the church, you know. And so he comes back. He says, you need to go and get that windshield fixed. He says, it's a law here, but you got to get that thing fixed. He said, but y'all go ahead and get it fixed, and y'all have a good day. You know what I said? I said, grace in action, amen. That's called grace, because I was guilty. Listen, if you're guilty, you're guilty. Guess what we're doing tomorrow? Hell, amen. Guess what else we're doing this week? We're getting insurance. Well, guess what else we're getting? Hallelujah. Get both of the things taken care of this week, amen. But that was grace in action. But the law said I wasn't supposed to be doing that, and guess what? The law was right. That was not going against God's law, against God's word whatsoever. So as long as man's law does not go against God's law, then you have to keep God's keep man's law. But watch this. Go with me now to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We're at Acts chapter 5, verse number 29. And look what the Bible says over here in Acts 5, verse number 29. My wife told me not to tell that story. But look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29. I said, I'm not responsible if it comes out. But look what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. My life's an open book. But look what it says in verse number 29. The Bible says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God, what? Rather than man. They had been told not to do something concerning Jesus, but they said we have to obey God rather than man. Now back up with me a little bit, go a little bit deeper in this thing. Go over to Acts chapter number 4, verse 18. The Bible says this, Acts 4, verse 18. The Bible says, and they called them and commanded them to speak, command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge you. You make that decision. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What were they saying? Hey, we got to tell everybody about Jesus. You may be commanded us not to, but hey, we have been commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we ought to obey the laws of man. When the laws of man don't go against the laws of God, there will come a time in this country, it's already in Canada, there will come a time in this country where you're not be able to preach against a certain sins. You won't be able to preach against homosexuality. You won't be able to preach against adultery and a lot of other sins. You won't be able to preach against those things. So what are we going to do, not preach? Not this preacher. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to preach the book.
Amen.
Because, my dear friends, hey, we have always been a persecuted people. But man, we got it so easy now, and we don't want no persecution whatsoever. But when the church was birthed, my dear friends, when the church came into existence, my dear friends, when Christ died from the cross, was buried and resurrection, I'm going to tell you, hey, they weren't embracing the church. No, they were trying to kill the Christians, my friends. They were trying to tell them apart. All the disciples died a martyr's death except for one. They gave their life. Not because folks loved them. We're like, well, I want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. What does the Word of God have to say about the issue? If it's stealing, it's stealing. If it's murder, if it's killing, if it's homosexuality, whatever, if it's a sin, my friends, it is a sin. So I said, well, you hate these people? No. The Bible says, for God so loved who? The world that he gave. You hate the sin, but never hate the sinner. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's not, I can't. The enemy wants to silence us from telling the truth from God's word. But my dear friends, where God says we're to speak, that's where we're supposed to speak. And we are going to be persecuted. It's going to happen. They've already passed laws in Canada. And I know they're working on passing some of those laws here where you can't say certain things. They call it hate speech. Hate speech. See, as people realize that hate speech, the way they're wording it, is going to try to stop us from speaking against certain things that are not right. But my dear friends, we're still going to preach the book. We are still going to preach the book. Same thing here, my friends. The command was given by Pharaoh. Hey, every boy that is born is to die. But we had some parents that said, wait a minute. We are not going to fear the king's command. We are going to be courageous, and by faith, we're going to hide our boy. Now I'm going to show you this last thing. We're done. We see the challenging pressure. We see the concealment, the cooperating parents, the cause of the concealment. We see their courage. And lastly, we see their compensation. God knows how to compensate us. By the way, the word compensation means this. Reimbursement. When you give to God, my dear friend, God knows how to reimburse you. God knows how to reward you. Well, how did God reward them? Let me show you. And we're done. Look what the Bible says over here, back in Exodus chapter 2. And look at verse number 3. Exodus 2 and verse number 3. Look what the Bible says. We're talking about a fearless faith. We're talking about a faith that drives out fear. Look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2. And look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, the Bible says this. She took him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And her sister stood afar off to wit or to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, look what she would find. She saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him. And she said this, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' sister, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? That she may nurse the child for thee. Because remember, this woman didn't have no baby. So she couldn't nurse it. So you want me to go find one of the Hebrews to nurse this baby for you? And the baby, the Bible says this. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maiden went and called the child's who?
Mother.
Moses' mama. The Bible says, hallelujah. The Bible says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, I want you to do me a favor. Take this child away and nurse it for me. Woo! And I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And the Bible says, she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. There's so much stuff there. The same water he was supposed to be drowned in was the same water that he was rescued from. Hey, by them. I'll follow your kids. You said put them in the water, right? I'll put them in there. I think I read somewhere in Genesis where they had an ark. And that ark was built to protect the folks from drowning when the rain came out the sky in that flood. But God built an ark for Moses. Put him in that ark. Move it on down there. Down there by Pharaoh's ark. And she sees it. And then she takes the child and says, what? I'm going to pay his mama to raise him. Don't God know how to compensate us, my friends? God knows how to reward us for our faithfulness to be trust in a living God. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody, I want to say something, mama. Just do what God says do. He going to pay you for it. He going to pay you more than what you expected. She was not anticipating, nor looking, my dear friends, for the fact that she would have the chance, the obligation to begin to raise her own son and then get paid for it. And apparently she talked to him. Because later on you're going to find out that he believed that he was going to be that deliverer. That's why he killed that Egyptian. That was hurting one of the other ones. And buried, that's another message. But nonetheless, though, she taught him some things and got paid for it. Fearless faith. God will reward you for your faithfulness. God will reward you for trusting him. God will reward you for following his will and following his ways. God will take care of you. But will you trust him? But what if this happens, or what if that happens? Will you trust him? But I don't know what they are. Will you trust him? She trusted him, and she raised him. Oh, by the way, he was the deliverer. He led those folks out of Egypt. Oh, by the way, the same water that Pharaoh was trying to get him drowned in, drowned him. My dear friends, he's trying to destroy Moses and water, and he just swept away his own self. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't God have a sense of humor? We serve a living God. We're trying to say, preacher, we can all have fearless faith. How you get that fearless faith? By simply trusting his word. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Father, I've done my best to convey the message that you laid upon my heart to deliver. I didn't do a great job at it, but I know the Holy Spirit would take that word and do the work. So I just ask God tonight, you take your word and plant it in the hearts of the present and let that word do wonders in every single life, every single heart. And help us to realize we can have fearless faith. Oh, we don't have to be afraid of the commands of the world, what they're trying to tell us to do and what not to do. Father, let us simply just lean upon you and trust your word. And then, God, for some reason, my mind is going to the parents, to the mothers, and to the fathers. We got mothers here who are raising their children by themselves, doing the best they can. Oh, Father, give them extra strength. Give them extra courage. Oh, God, to lead their family into a place of victory. God, help them never to be afraid, but simply lean on you and to trust you. God, for every single parent, moms, dads, God, breathe on them and give them courage, and we'll thank you. Then I pray, God, for every person, every individual, who are facing various situations in their life. I'm talking about pressure, peer pressure, friends' pressures. BBF, BFF, whatever, friendships. Oh, Father, and they get hurt, they get wounded. But Father, I pray that you give them encouragement, help them to trust you, to lean on you, and not let that pressure cause them to do things that they know that they should not do. God, help somebody, please. I don't know what to say, Father. Whatever the needs are tonight, whatever the reasons are, the folks need to come pray and talk to you. I pray they come. For in Christ's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Somebody needs to hear this.